Welcome back to today's episode of the Third and Forever Football Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Oz, joined as always by my co-host, Kevin Ulm. Kevin, how are you doing, buddy?
I am racked with guilt.
Why is that? Why are you racked with guilt?
I think you know why. It was announced this week that our good friend Riverboat Ron has been relieved of his coaching duties as the Carolina Panthers head coach. And
yeah.
For those of you devout listeners out there, you may remember a time in the middle of last season after the Panthers had been blown out on, I believe it was Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
And I uttered the immortal words, "The Panthers will be fine." They have not been fine since that
day. No.
And I can't help but feel partially responsible for the fate of Riverboat Ron.
Yeah, I think since that game, they have been like a collective 5-12. So
yeah, I'm not saying that I did it, but I definitely did it. So I'd like to apologize to him and his family, the entire state, or I guess both of the Carolinas. We'll go both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it was kind of a bit of a shock, but at the same time, it's not where they want to be, and I can understand it, but it was a bit of shocking, mid-season. Typically, you would think, all right, maybe at the end of the year, because, I understand losing to the Redskins is bad, but, 5-7, I don't know. It's probably not going to get you anywhere in the NFC this year.
No,
but it's,
no, not. I mean, not unless you're
the
in
final
the
straw.
NFC East. That yeah, that'll get you in the hunt. But
oh yeah,
I mean, you lose to the Redskins, you can't expect to keep your job.
No, no.
You coach for the Redskins, you also can't expect to keep your job. They're just kind of a coaching disaster right now.
Yeah, just not good. Farewell, Riverboat. I'm sure it won't be the last we'll see of you, but it's the last we'll see of you most likely as a Carolina Panther head coach.
The Riverboat is chugging off into the sunset.
Right. All right, let's go into the Week 13 games. We didn't highlight that many. There were some good ones, actually, but the ones we highlighted were obviously the Monday night game, Vikings at Seahawks, your game, Packers at Giants, and then we talked about the juggernaut of a game, 49ers and Ravens, is what we wanted to point to.
And for once, that's not a sarcastic use of the word juggernaut.
Right. It's actually...
Yeah, it was actually pretty exciting.
Let's just dive right back. Let's just go right into that game. We'll kind of go reverse order of the three that I just listed there. So 49ers at Ravens. This game was built up to being a huge heavyweight game, and it didn't disappoint. It was a very good game.
It didn't disappoint. It wasn't a barn burner. It wasn't Chiefs Rams like we had last year. I mean, these are two very good defenses, and the Niners are a decent offense, and I think the Rams are a great offense. So
yeah,
I think the better team won here in this week. I think Baltimore, and they were at home, which helps too.
Yeah,
but I'd say that they, it came down to a kick at the end, and Justin Tucker is just so good.
Yeah, he's money. He's the only kicker pretty much in the league that's, you could actually trust going out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of missed kicks this year. Talked about last week. But yeah, Justin Tucker, money. Lamar Jackson just shows not a crazy game.
Not a crazy game, but he's
the
played
whole running, that's the thing.
Yeah, in the last handful of weeks, in the last month, he's played the Patriots defense, he's played the Niners defense. Neither one has really been able to really shut him down. He's played the Seahawks defense. I mean, he is for real.
Yes.
If anyone out there had Lamar Jackson in fantasy football and sold high after week two, thinking he was going to come crashing back down to earth, you must feel like an absolute idiot right now. I mean,
who could have done that?
No, it's some fucking idiot. it's tall, and it's me. I'm the idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was wrong, and Lamar's for real. And, I mean, to his credit, Jimmy G didn't have a bad game.
No, I mean, it was fine. The Niners are so extremely proficient at running the foot. Like, like Kyle Shanahan's such a good grasp of that offense and the personnel. Yeah. Like, even if they didn't put up points, but like they were able to move the ball and like it, you know, it's they're just a really good, well-rounded team. Like they know he knows how to use the strengths of for the most part, not that talented of an offensive unit. They're just mm-hmm. schemed so well. And it's just any, you know, they have so many people in their backfield. Like today it was Mostert. And yep. like, you know, he's been kind of coming on lately, but it's just,
you never know who it's going to be too.
Exactly.
It's reminiscent almost of, you know, not so much this year, but the way that New England has been in the past where it's like, they have four running backs and you can't start any of them in fantasy football because, you know, it's just a crapshoot every single week of who's going to get 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The receiving core is still a bit of a mess. There's a little bit of, you know, no huge names. Like Emmanuel Sanders, like, he gets hurt so much, though.
He gets hurt so much, and he's not amazing.
He's fine.
He's serviceable.
You know, Deebo Samuel, I think, could be very good, but he's young. He's only a mm-hmm. rookie. George Kittle is obviously very good, but, like, he's the only person you really, like, if you key on him, like, just focus on that, you know, make him the priority and make the other guys beat you.
And to that same note, I mean, Baltimore didn't really have anyone with a noteworthy receiving performance in this game.
No.
Both these teams are kind of interesting in that they really don't have a lot of talent at wide receiver. They don't have a big name in Amari Cooper, you know, someone on that level, you know, that's Michael Thomas that can go out there and just put up these massive numbers every week, but they're still very proficient offenses.
Yeah, they have coaching staffs that know how to use their personnel, and like mm-hmm. that's so few teams in the NFL.
The Ravens did where they brought in, I forget what his name was, but the guy that was kind of the guy behind the guy for Colin Kaepernick back in the day.
They brought him
on when they drafted Lamar Miller and said, we're going to completely change
Jackson.
The way our offense works. Or Lamar Jackson.
You don't want Lamar Miller.
Lamar Miller throwing the ball back there. Yeah.
You don't want him.
Okay, we got Lamar. Which Lamar? Does it matter? Yes. Yes, it
matters.
It
does a lot.
It matters quite a bit.
Yeah. And like, I think John Harbaugh, like, is probably one of the most, like, underrated coach. Like, people don't really talk about that because, like, and also he's a special teams guy. He came from that. And, like, obviously that's been, you know, having Justin Tucker, like, I don't think that's by accident. Like, they've had good special teams for as long as they have. But
yeah.
he's also just a coach that, like, he's not, like, trying to, you know, manhandle one side of the ball or try to do everything. Like, he trusts his offensive and defensive guys that he has on his staff. And he just goes, like, all right, this is our personnel that we have. And they saw Lamar. They're like, let's mold, like, shift our offense completely from Joe Flacco mm-hmm. to Lamar Jackson. What are his strengths? All right, let's do that. That's our identity now.
Which was a really ballsy move because if Lamar pan out, what the fuck are you doing?
Real bad, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Flacco, Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco.
Yeah. Now,
granted, fucking stinks besides that, but still, I mean, people would have come down on them so hard, and I respect, you know, committing to your guy that much.
And, you know, whether Lamar's play is, you know, sustainable for years to come, that remains to be seen. But in the small scheme of things, like, it doesn't matter. Like, if it gets him a Super Bowl this year, like, you know, like, all right, then you have to.
Success is success.
Yeah,
you know,
can't worry about, you know, the unknown when you're like, just play one game at a time, which they've been doing lately, and, you know, it's obviously paid off.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the other thing about this game is that, you know, the Niners go on and they lose. And the Seahawks win this week, and suddenly that division is flipped, and the Seahawks are in first place.
Yeah,
And the Niners at 10-2 are not in first place.
Oh no, there's gonna be a 12-4 at least, like a 12-4 wild card. Like mm-hmm. it's just gonna happen.
And there's gonna be a team with a record like that that will have to go into Dallas or Philly and play a playoff game in that city.
Yeah. Let's go into the Monday night game since we're talking about the Seahawks a little bit. Mm-hmm. This game was frustrating.
I did watch this whole game because obviously there were huge NFC implications, NFC North and NFC writ large. Yeah. And, I mean, the first half, neck and neck.
Yeah.
third quarter, all Seahawks.
Yeah.
And then the fourth quarter was kind of the rally, and, you know, it almost worked.
Yeah. You know, just digging yourself a hole to, like, that's been, like, you look at all of our losses, like, that's what's happened. Like, we have, like, a really bad quarter, like, against the Packers, was the first quarter was really bad. Yep. Against the Bears, I want to say it was, like, the second or so, and then we kind of dug ourselves deep, and then against that defense, it's hard to do. But then, you know, this game, it's just, like, we fell asleep for the whole third quarter, and that's what cost us the game. Like, when I look at it, I'm like, you know, offensively, I was happy with it. You know, obviously, third quarter didn't go great. We had some more punts and things like that. But putting up 30 points, yes, one of those is from a really weird pick six.
Yep.
But
that was an all-time, by the way. That was
Russell Wilson. I don't know what you're doing.
That's going to go down as – I mean, Russell Wilson's a great quarterback. That's going to go down as one of the dumbest fucking plays I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's the thing. Like, he's a great quarterback. But he, every now and then, like – he just has, like, a mental lapse and just, like, does shit like that. Like, what are you doing?
And to go off of that a little bit when we're shitting on Russell Wilson, all-time bad mic'd up guy.
Mm.
So not entertaining mic'd up guy.
The worst part about it is, like, Kirk Cousins, like, we know, Vikings fans, and everyone know, like, he's a corny guy. Like, he's a total dad. Like he drives a conversion van. Like, you know, he doesn't really hide that fact kind of thing. I think Russell Wilson kind of like tries to always be like, I don't know. He's like with Sierra and like, I don't know. He always tries to seem like he's really, really fucking sweet. And like his mic'd up, I would be so annoyed if I was a teammate of his.
Oh my God. Well, like, I don't, like, part of me is like, that can't be what he actually says. And he knew he was mic'd up. And part of me is like, no, I think that's actually
him. Yeah, and like, there's a reason that, you like, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, like, the defense people were like, yeah, like, he's Pete Carroll's bitch. Like, no one really likes Rutt. Like, he's good, but, like, he's not a guy you want to go invite out. Like, because he's just, I don't know. It was bad. It was the most cliche sayings, too. Mm-hmm. It was just like, God, man. And, of course, like,
this is going to be a really relatable thing, but our old roommate, Matt, used to play video games, and he had three different things he would say, and one of them was a racial slur. But the other two, like, that's Russell Wilson. It's just like, he's like an action figure. You push the button, he says 104 things.
Yeah.
Like, woo! Like, that's one of his things.
Oh, 100%. And, like, I'm sorry, like, I know, like, saying Tessitore and Booger have been bad all year. This was horrendous.
They're really bad. They need to stop. And
you have to, like, I'm not even saying this from a Vikings fan. This, like, I understand that people like Russell Wilson. Like, he's really good for the NFL because he doesn't get into trouble. He does well, and he kind of just, like, is a good, like, poster boy type of thing. You know, he never has really much drama around him. But the bias towards the Seahawks today, like, that game, it was bad. And Booger was so, like, it was never, you know, I don't know. It was just really bad. Also, him saying plays like that tipped pick was like, oh, plays like that never go Minnesota's way. You know, you have plays like the Minneapolis Miracle, you know, going against them, and everyone's like, what?
What's happening? Yeah, it's not even like it's bad commentary. It's wrong.
He's not even trying anymore. No, like, yeah. He says it. He just says the most reactionary and absolute things. It's he's the best ever.
Dude. I feel like he fucked up a couple times, and he realized that he would just, like, go viral on Twitter, and it's kind of no such thing as bad press, where he's just firing from the hip. Oh. I mean, not giving a fuck anymore.
But, I don't know, like, I don't know what the hell is, like, giving up 444 yards and 220, or 218 on the ground, it's like, we should, you know, anyone that left this game, if there were Vikings fans that said, this loss is Kirk Cousins' fault. It's Kirk couldn't. It was like, not even close, dude. Yeah, the only reason it was close was a Kirk Cousins. Like, are you kidding me? Well, like, he shouldn't have to score over 37 points or 34 at the time before their field goal in one of the hardest stadiums. Like, he shouldn't have to do that with the defense that we should have, like, the talent we have on that side of the ball. It's just fucking ridiculous. Well,
and you guys, I mean, Dalvin Cook gets injured.
Yeah.
Diggs kind of was injured, was a question mark. Thielen wasn't out there. Yeah, starting left tackle was injured. I mean,
the game, like, and we still almost won.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off, like, people, like, Twitter world or Reddit world or whatever. It's like, that was not Kirk's fault.
Also, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
what are you guys gonna do with Xavier Rhodes?
Fucking fuck all, man.
He stinks.
No, like, and it's the worst
part. He's so bad now.
The worst part, like, he's, like, honestly, I think it's just because he's old. Like, he's 30. Like, you know, and also, it's just.
30?
Yeah.
Wow.
He just gets. When he gets a bad play, he just gets so emotional, and then he does a stupid personal foul, like a roughing penalty. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, like, he was over on the sideline slamming his helmet and all, you know, like doing the whole nine.
He started, like, screaming almost because, like, Mike Zimmer said, like, basically, like, get your head out of your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And he clapped back at Zimmer, and that's, like, what? And Zimmer just stared at him, and then he just let him huff off. And then afterwards, finally, like, a day later, he's like, I really regret that, like,
yeah, be better. I bet you
it's like, yeah, no shit, dude. And like, he was like trying to come over to Harrison Smith, like, because he thought that Harrison, like, it was a blown, like, that blown coverage. Like, no, dude, you didn't know the coverage, and you just got beat. You thought you had safety help. You saw Harrison Smith 2 feet next to you. He's not gonna get. He's not going back. And then I think he realized it afterwards. Like, oh shit. Like, but like, dude, like, get your head out of your ass, man. You were all pro a couple years ago, 2 years.
Yeah, it's. It's weird because I didn't know until this season, and even into this season, I just, you know, I knew in my head, I'm like, Xavier Rhodes, a good cornerback, and it's not true anymore.
No, he just gets, he's our weakest part of our defense.
He Josh Norman, but like no one noticed.
Yeah, and it's just bad too, and like he gets penalties all the time, he gets burned all the time. It's like, fuck off. Like, bench him and put in Holton Hill. At least he gives a shit. Like,
well, but you can't bench him. You're paying him, like, a good amount of money still, you know? Yeah, so it's like, I mean, you're in that, you're time, in that catch-22 zone.
At the same time, like, you could make the argument that he lost us this game. Like, his mistakes, like, I know it's not a one-person thing, but his mistakes, like, he had a couple of them on consecutive drives in that third quarter that led to this massive swing.
Yeah. Yeah, they were super good.
And Kirk's just like, all right, fuck off. Like, just go out and get us back in the game without Dalvin Cook. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, that was, my heart dropped, by the way, on that play. Dalvin's down. Diggs is down. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, that was an all-time moment where I was like, wasn't there a fumble or something, too?
Yeah. Dalvin fumbled on that play.
I was like, wow, this might be the worst play for the Vikings.
We somehow only held them to a field goal on that, that one, luckily. But still, like...
Also, someone needs to tell Kyle Rudolph that he's allowed to use both of his hands when he catches the ball.
Dude, he actually catches him, though.
Yeah, no, he does. But, like, it's just weird. Like, they're not even ones he has to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, granted, there was, like, a couple of them. Like, a lot of the time when he does it, like, that one in the back of the end zone, his hand was, like, down with the corner.
Yeah.
And so it was literally,
well,
that
first
that was
one, but now I feel like he's just doing it.
Because he's like, I can do it.
Shit.
All right, let's move on. I don't know. I mean, it's 8-4. You know, it's all right. It's Seahawks are good. I can't be mad, I guess. Like, I'm glad we made it respectable, but I made it more frustrating, I guess. All right, let's go to your game.
My game. I don't have a ton to say. I mean, it was more or less. You know, it wasn't as stressful as they usually are. Beat a team that you gotta beat if you want to be taken at all seriously in the league. You know, I mean, the Giants are skidding. I was happy that they, for the most part, contained Saquon, but that was kind of because they were down and having to pass most of the game. Yeah. I'm worried about our wide receiver situation.
Yeah.
I do not like it. It scares the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we stopped using... I think people have started putting cornerbacks on Aaron Jones.
Yep.
Which kind of blew the lid off of that whole cheat code. So that was fun while it lasted. I don't... Like, we won, and I feel shitty, like, complaining about winning. But all of our receivers, with the exception of Devontae, just stink. Like, Lazard caught a touchdown because the corner just, like, fell asleep. Like, I don't know what he was doing. He was so wide open. All he did was, like, run a post.
Yeah, no, it's very clear that Devontae is your receiving core. Mm-hmm. And
the corpse of Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, but even then, not much. Like, unless you're getting, you're, like, inside the 10-yard line, I feel like.
I realized something, though, during this game about Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that narrative, right, that Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw to tight ends.
Yes.
Correct.
I mean, so, yeah.
just objectively, that is correct. But yeah. I think that Aaron Rodgers loves tight ends so much that he can't bear to watch them get tackled.
Get hurt.
Because, because he loved Jared Cook. He fucking loves Jimmy Graham. Mercedes Lewis caught a touchdown this game, and Rodgers ran up and was like the most excited I've seen him in like a decade, freaking out. It's Mercedes Lewis, like obviously they're best friends. I think he just loves tight ends too much. He's like the giant kid, and you can't give it a puppy because he'll hug it too hard. Like yeah. he's gonna like tend the rabbits, but it's tight ends. I think that's what's happening. And they're trying really hard to get the slowest, least athletic tight ends they possibly can out there so that he's not inspired to throw to them even more.
Yeah, no, this game, like you said, I don't know. There's not much to talk about. Like, they beat a team they should beat, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is. Daniel Jones loves to turn the ball over.
We beat a team that was 2-9. Yeah. And the defense went and took like a giant ass 50-person group picture every single time they did.
I hate that.
Anything. Like, I hate it.
The Packers,
too.
It's just everyone.
No, everyone's doing it. Yeah. Every single defense is like, we got a turnover. Let's all run down to the end zone, even like the fifth or sixth corner off the bench. And they're like, yeah, we did it. I'm like, get off. Whatever happened to act like you've been there before? You know, celebrate, high-five each other, like, headbutt each other a little bit. Get out the fucking field.
That happened in the Vikings game, when Cousins threw an interception, again, off of Diggs' body. Yep. And granted, Griffin made a phenomenal play on it. But as soon as they get it, it was like they were down like the near midfield. They ran over 60 yards.
Yeah.
To the end zone, all take a picture. It's like, get the fuck off the field.
And then they all post on Instagram, and they're like, yeah, another one down. I'm like, what if we had lost? Like, what would you do then?
Like, I don't, and also, like, why is it not a penalty? I feel like that's very excessive.
I don't know. It's very excessive. I feel like it's some loophole with the new celebration, you know, where it's like technically that extends to that too. I guess.
I blame the Bears last year, honestly. I think they were like the first team to really do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and then I remember, like, because they did it a lot. Yeah, like that was like became their thing.
Yeah, with Club Dub and all that bullshit.
God, I hate Club Dub. And that means like it'd be so fucking. It's so funny when they lose because it's like what, just really sad and just sit there in silence. Yeah, I don't know. Not much to talk about in this game. It's a great game to have right after the Niners.
It's a good game to have. I mean, we can talk about NFC North playoff implications based on this week shifted, where now the narrative is that if the Packers can take care of business in the three games that aren't the Vikings against the Bears, Lions, and Redskins,
it won't matter.
I mean, if they can't beat those three teams, then they probably shouldn't win the division. You know, then they don't deserve it.
Well,
but
the biggest
they do
thing
that,
is like
then it nullifies the Packer Viking game.
Yeah, well, we need you to lose to one of the division teams because you haven't lost to any division team yet. We already have two losses in the division, so regardless,
but if you guys win out and then we lose to anyone, you'll have a better record, so the tiebreaker won't matter. But yeah, the division ones would be more helpful to you.
Yeah,
I think that Bears game in 2 weeks is going to be. It's going to be a big one.
All right, let's go into some segments. There's actually one before I actually move on. I saw one I forgot to pull up because, you know, as soon as, of course, when the Vikings lost the Seahawks, the narrative went to Kirk Cousins now 0-8 on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it and it goes, of those eight losses, six are 3 to the Seahawks, 1 to the Steelers, 1 to the Chiefs, and 1 to the Super Bowl champion Phillies. When they won that year, his teams also allowed an average of 28.8 points per game in those Monday Night Football games in all eight. So some context is useful. That's what like it's just...
I mean, I'm just the numbers don't lie, Adam. 0-8, and I'll tell you what. Do you know what day the Packer Viking game is?
It's on a Monday.
Oh, it's on a Monday.
Well, that means they're due. So
yeah, so he's
you walk yourself into
1-8.
Woo! All right, let's go to some segments. Let's start with performance of the week. Kevin, what's your performance of the week?
My performance of the week. Deshaun Dynasty Killer Watson.
Son of a bitch. We have the same one. All right, well, we can just talk about this then.
Yep. I mean, three passing touchdowns. One, we're going to call it a receiving. It was it was a pitch. I don't give a shit if it, yeah. It's a rushing touchdown, but I guess it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you had fantasy. But, I mean, he had a hell of a game. And this is a Texans unit that has had its ups and downs this season. Definitely, you know, going to that game capable of beating New England, but yeah. it certainly wasn't a sure thing. And they look great. I mean, I think that this game was a lot farther apart than the final score kind of suggests, 28-22. The Patriots looked lost
in the fourth.
Yes. I mean, the Patriots were down 14-3. I think they were down 21-3 or 6 or something like that at some point.
Yeah.
It was, it was not great. Yeah, 21-3.
No, and it's one of those things. It's like he just kept making plays where it was just like this was like the fun Deshaun Watson.
It was
a lot of the time,
Deshaun
like,
Watson.
The Texans are so up and down. Like you either get where they're really fun like this, where Deshaun's having a blast out there.
Mm-hmm. They're doing little gadget plays and shit like that.
Yeah, and like I don't know, and like on the other side of it, like. I cannot believe that New England didn't go out and get. I mean, I guess they had receiver help. At some, you know, they had Antonio
they've
Brown
been,
and
they've
Josh
been cutting
Gordon.
Receiver help now. I mean, they've had three different guys, and it's like, or I guess two different guys. Who am I thinking?
Yeah.
No, well, and now they have Sanu, and he's like not playing or something.
Yeah, he's just I don't know. I don't know if Sanu.
But he's like, oh, he's kind of playing, but he's not producing.
Yeah,
and so it's just like. I don't know what's going on. I'm not going to lay this all at the feet of Brady, but I don't think that Brady is talented enough in this situation to just pull them along by himself.
Well, he also doesn't have a like he's had I think probably like his worst line in I don't even know how long. And he's not a mobile guy by any means.
Exactly. So
that's a bad combination.
Kind of a perfect storm for them.
They at least remembered they have James White on their team. So that's
too little, too late. But I mean, this game was a nice contrast between. I mean, Brady is one of the last. He's probably the last of the old guard of quarterbacks that stand in the pocket and throw the ball, and then they watch, and then they go in the huddle and they do it again. Whereas Deshaun Watson is the epitome of the new age quarterback with his running and you know juking people out and scrambling around in the Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes vein. Of, you know, new mobile quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, too, is now
he's like
in that list as
well.
His
own league.
Yeah, Cam Newton was the kind of the prototype of those guys. So it was a stark contrast. How about you?
Yeah.
What's your performance?
My first week was Deshaun Watson, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shit,
I just, you know, I mean, this the Patriots defense, like, they are good. Like, they're a very, very good unit. Like, that's the thing. But they just, you know, the Texans came out swinging and, you know, it helped them probably separate and probably now will lead to them, you know, winning their division, you know, outright.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that the Titans are kind of nipping at their heels a little bit, but I think the Texans have shown that they're.
And the Colts, that division is the NFC East of the AFC. It's crazy.
A lot of hot and cold teams, like talented players, but I don't know, things just go wrong for them.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Nathan Peterman Award winner. I'll start. My Nathan Peterman Award winner is the entire Jets organization.
That stinks. That table got
that was bad.
What's the opposite of run?
I don't know.
it got killed. Killed the table.
Like, it was just. I mean, they're playing the. Was the 0-11 Bengals? And
I mean, of all the games that you had, like, we have to win this one, and you go against the Bengals, maybe they just didn't prepare, but...
I don't know. Geez. I mean, they put up yardage, but 10 penalties for 106 yards? Like, ugh. It's just ugly. It's just got sacked four times. They just couldn't
this
do
game
anything.
Is the reason that the Jets are the Jets. You know, like, this is where you kind of see... the structural flaws in the organization, even when, take like the Ravens, for example, even when they were bad last year, like, they didn't do this. They didn't shoot themselves in the foot this hard. They didn't look this foolish, and they didn't lose to a otherwise winless team. The Jets have now lost to two 0-7 or worse teams
I think it's the first time season. That's ever happened that's in NFL history.
Ever happened.
And like point like averaging 4 yards per pass, averaging 3.6 on the ground. You have Le'Veon Bell. Remember that?
Yeah.
And
who's doing fuck like, also, all nothing?
What the hell is wrong with Le'Veon Bell? Why would you choose that? What did you think? Clearly just wanted money and like he got it, but you're also on the fucking Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So you went from Super Bowl contending team to one of the most exciting offenses to now yuck.
Yeah, kind of feel bad for him, but I don't know. He got paid. That's what he wanted.
He chose it. Chose that.
He made his bed.
Yeah.
My Nathan Peterman is with a heavy heart. My Nathan Peterman is D. Jones. He threw three picks. He fumbled once. Just a thoroughly and some like a couple of the picks were just
bad.
Nowhere near where he was trying to put it.
It was snowing, you know.
This Nathan Peterman comes with a silver lining. D. Jones got his feelings hurt or something during that game. And do you know what that means?
He's benched.
Well, no, he's hurt. He's hurt in the Mitchell Trubisky being hurt vein, which means
he's going to come back on real strong.
Eli Manning. No, don't talk about that. Eli Manning is back on Monday Night Football this week at home against the Eagles.
Oh, boy. He's going to shock the world. It.
I kind of want to pick him up in fantasy.
Oh, God.
I'm so excited.
Like, that has to be, like, a ride off into the sunset. Like, Eli's going to retire.
I kind of want to go for the glory play. Like, I think that he might actually have a really good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's rested. He's got time.
Yeah, he's well. Oh, he's well rested. He has been breathing through his mouth for months, waiting for this moment. He's going to don that helmet that's too big for his head.
Yep.
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
All right, let's go to stock up, stock down. My stock up of the week is media built up games. You know, a lot of the time you'll get these games that are so advertised, so blown up, and they usually just be like letdowns. But obviously the Niners and Ravens was insanely built
excellent.
Up.
Excellent. Yes.
It was very, very good. I thought Patriots Texans was a good game too. It was a surprising game to me.
It was an interesting game.
Yeah, like, and Patriots, they made it close a little bit, I guess. And then obviously the result didn't go the way I wanted, but I thought the Vikings Seahawks was a very good game. A lot of momentum swings in that game. I thought for the most part the primetime games, obviously the Thanksgiving games were not that great.
And then extending that, we're not really going to talk about it here, but the Thursday night game that already happened this week, primetime, also a good game.
Yeah. So the primetime's been on a good streak lately. Hopefully they don't screw it up. But that's my stock up.
Well, our primetime games this week, looking ahead, is Seahawks at Rams.
Nice.
And then, it's Giants at Eagles. Ooh.
Yes.
Okay. So those should both be decent. All right, my stock up is the Rams. They got a win this week, and more than just the win, they looked like the Rams again. And I know they weren't playing a good team, and there's a whole lot of, caveats that go with this game. The Cardinals are just terrible.
Yeah.
But the Rams looked like the Rams. It's been a while since you could really say that. I mean, Goff had 400 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Gurley almost broke 100 yards. Robert Woods had 172.
With 13 receptions?
Yeah, and no touchdowns, shockingly enough. But, like, I mean, they look great.
Yeah.
Probably, maybe a case of too little, too late. But
hopefully.
Especially in that division. But... They're my stack up because the last couple weeks, I mean, the Rams,
and then
really this
water.
Whole season, I mean, they got destroyed by the Ravens, they beat the Bears barely, they lost to the Steelers. They've been floundering this season.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, stock down. My stock down, we kind of talked about already, the Panthers for a midseason collapse, a second year in a row.
Yeah.
All Kevin's fault.
You hate to see it.
But, you know, it's just they're in a tailspin. I have no idea how their season's going to go now. I don't know. Are they going to bottom out and end like 5-12 or whatever they were?
Playoffs.
Seven losses or not.
I feel like, I've said it before, but I think the Panthers are going to be fine.
When are they going to be fine?
Some you say they're going to
they
be fine.
They haven't been fine since you said it. Haven't been fine.
Someday they're going to be fine, and when that day comes, I'll be waiting on this podcast to discuss
just cursed an entire fineness.
That, well, I mean, my curses aren't that strong, so if they can get cursed by me, do I use these powers for good or for evil?
I mean, it's clearly pretty strong. They haven't looked good at all.
I mean. I don't think – I didn't say Cam Newton was going to be fine. You know, he just got hurt. That's not my fault.
Oh, so Kyle Allen's their future?
Well, no, definitely not.
Great.
But, yeah. My stock down, Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
They lost to the third-string quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And like I said, the Jets Jets.
Don't dock. Duck, all right?
No, I'm not trying to – I mean, duck fucks. Don't get me wrong.
Duck fucks.
But at the same time, the Browns, they are who we thought they were. They got some weapons. They got a quarterback. They don't have a coach.
No.
They can't get the pieces together.
They do not have a coach. Don't hire that guy.
No, they need to get rid of that guy as fast as humanly – and that's the difference where you look at a team like the Browns.
Yeah.
And you see all the weapons they have and their shitty-ass coach –
yep.
And then you look across the other side of the ball, the Steelers with a skeleton MASH unit, but a good coach in Mike Tomlin. He's crazy. He's weird. He's good. And, yeah. I mean, they started – what did they start? Like 0-4 or something this year the Steelers did?
Yeah, not one, great. Two, Mike Tomlin three. Is a sneaky –
they started,
guy. Like,
they started 0-3.
He controls the shit out of his locker room. Like, yeah. Like he, like his players respect him.
And Mike Tomlin's stock has been rising this whole year, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Because Antonio Brown, fucking crazy. Lev Bell, kind of crazy. Ben Roethlisberger, you know, sexual
injured
assault.
Injured right away.
What? Yeah, that's what I meant. And so, and the fact that that was mostly, I mean, we had the occasional Antonio Brown mini little freak out that we're like, oh, he's freaking out. We had no idea.
Yeah,
what Antonio Brown freakout looked
like. He reeled him in.
Yeah, so
I don't know how. Like Jesus,
it's like Antonio Brown is like after you like break up with a girl and then you see her go like full psycho on the next guy. And you're like, oh my god, I didn't even know that was like on the table before. I didn't know that was like within the realm of possibility. And so yeah, I mean, I guess you know maybe that's more to Mike Tomlin's credit than the Browns, you know, discredit, but. Freddie Kitchens, and to a greater extent, the whole Browns, they're just kind of imploding.
Yeah, Freddie Kitchens should be gone. Yep. The first person they should look at, try to pry Lincoln Riley away from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to have much luck, but he was obviously phenomenal with Baker Mayfield.
Mike
but
McCarthy.
Hey, there was a coach that just got fired this week that would probably be pretty good there. You know, I'm sure he's not doing much.
Mike McCarthy.
No.
Also...
Also, Mike McCarthy, honestly, watch him, like, sign there and be really fucking good. Like, how upset would you be in that situation?
I just can't imagine he'd do things differently. Mike is a creature of habit. It comes from not having to change your offense due to your back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I don't think it would go well. I would be happy for him if it did because we almost never play the Browns. Doesn't matter. But I don't think it would go well.
Yeah, probably not. I was alluding to Ron Rivera, if you didn't understand.
Well, I mean, I think the Browns are going to be fine, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's right.
God damn it. All right, let's look ahead to Week 14. We have our games, Lions. Both of them are pretty stinkers, or should be. Lions at the Vikings. Minnesota's favored 13. I mean, David Blau, I don't know. He looks pretty good on Thanksgiving
to
start.
It right. It's David Blau.
You know,
he didn't
and then
have a bad game on Thanksgiving. I mean, he's fine.
No. Yeah, I mean, then he kind of calmed down a little bit. He was fire in the beginning of that. He was like to start the game. I mean, he was like 5 of 6 for like 124 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like it was like Jesus Christ. But all right, then we have the Redskins going to the Packers. Green Bay favored 12.5.
Wait, to go back real quick, is Dalvin Cook supposed to play?
Yeah, said he's good to go. He re-aggravated the exact same like little injury he got against the Broncos. And that one play where he was like going towards the end zone and he got like landed on like kind of like that collarbone shoulder area. And it literally, he got hit like in the exact same spot. And like, that's what it was. Like he went in the locker room quick, got x-rays, nothing was broken, nothing fractured or anything. And he came right back out and just, you know, rest mm-hmm. him. But, Thielen's doubtful. Which I think that they're really just one making sure that he's 100% because like hamstrings are just such a fickle.
Well, he went thing. Back out there with the Chiefs too and re-aggravated it, so it's probably just they're really concerned about
And our offense, like granted, there were parts in this last game that we really could have used him, especially in, like that third quarter. There was like some third downs where you're like, we really wish we had, you know, someone other than Diggs that can be reliable in getting separation, but. Mm-hmm. I think they're really just like, ideally, they'd love if they could just rest him until probably, you know, week 16. If he's good, he should be good to go then, I imagine.
Yeah.
All right, then, yeah, Redskins at Packers, Greg said, Green Bay, 12.5-point home
this
favorite.
This is just one of those games where it's like, beat the teams you should beat. You know, yeah. if this is at all close, that's going to be a big red flag.
Yeah. You're at home against the Redskins. All the Redskins are coming off that win. No, I don't really see this, you know, going that well for the Redskins. Another game I want to highlight, 49ers at Saints. This has some seeding implications.
Mm-hmm.
Niners looking to get back on track, obviously. And Niners are New Orleans is a home favorite of 2.5, so really pretty even.
Yeah, pretty even. And I mean, you know, going to the Sunday night game, Seahawks at Rams, I mean, you know, you think Seahawks, but right now the line is even.
Yeah.
And Seahawks are at the top of the division, so if the Niners can pull out a win on the road, the Seahawks can't, they flip again.
Yes. I mean, I feel like it's going to be back and forth between them. Like, they both have difficult schedules going down the mm-hmm. stretch, too. Obviously, they play each other one more time, mm-hmm. Which will most likely, I mean, it will decide the division. But, yeah, I don't know. 49ers and Saints, I don't trust the Saints offense. I just don't. Like, then Michael Thomas is a stud. Kamara hasn't looked that great. Drew Brees hasn't looked that great. Like,
they definitely don't look as good as they did last year. Not even close.
It's not as extreme, but when I'm watching this, like, this year, like, Brees is kind of looking a little reminiscent of, like, end of career Peyton Manning a little bit. Like, he's extremely knowledgeable, and, like, he'll give you those moments. It's not as drastic, but, like, he just...
Yeah, there's like the ascending and descending lines of athletic ability and football IQ.
Yeah.
And your ability goes down and your football IQ goes up as you get older. And, you know, those lines intersect, and he is definitely pretty far past that intersection point now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just he's becoming more of a game manager, which is fine. I mean, they've obviously – you know, been winning.
If you adjust for that, then you can make that work.
Right. And you're not, like, in denial about it, mm-hmm. Which I don't think they are. Regardless of how much I don't like Sean Payton, he's a good head coach.
Yep.
You know, he knows how to run an offense. Yep. The other game I want to highlight is the Chiefs at Patriots. Rematch the AFC Championship game last year.
This is going to be interesting.
Yes.
Because... the Patriots have stumbled as of late. Some people are even saying the dynasty's dead.
Who is ever saying that?
Some people. People are saying. But anyway, you know, and they lost last week. Do they respond here? I mean, they're only favored by 3 points at home.
Yep.
Basically nothing. The Chiefs, however, have also stumbled as of late. They lost to the goddamn Titans like 2 weeks ago.
Hey, the Titans they're a weird team. I don't know.
They're a weird team, but I don't think I would ever call them, you know, an elite team.
No. But then they just stomped over the Raiders last week, 40-7. Like,
that's it. They're coming off this. You know, these two teams are entering this game. The Chiefs are entering on a high note. The Patriots are definitely entering on a low note.
Yeah.
Another game that I wanted to talk about a little bit is Ravens at Bills. Because if the Patriots lose this game this week and the Bills pull out a win against the Ravens, which I do not think they will, but they're at home.
Yeah.
They have the same record. Patriots win on a tiebreaker right now, but
you have to play again.
That's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Bills are weird because, like, going back to Thanksgiving, they shockingly destroyed or manhandled the Cowboys.
I wasn't that shocked by it, honestly. I think I've been saying it for a couple weeks. The Cowboys are a fake good team.
Yeah.
Like, they have weapons. They just suck.
I saw this stat today. This is in response to the Cowboys losing last night to the Bears, which we'll talk about, you know, next week. Mm-hmm. But the stat is still accurate. Strange but true. The 6-7 Cowboys have scored more points than the 10-2 Seahawks. The 6-7 Cowboys have also allowed fewer points than the 10-2 Seahawks. Dallas has also gained more yards than Seattle and allowed fewer yards than Seattle. That's coaching, folks. Yep. That's coaching.
That's clapping, Jason Garrett. Yeah. Hashtag. God.
I mean, that's absurd. That's absurd.
Well, I saw the tweet after the game this Thursday where it's, after this loss, the Cowboys fall to 6-7 and plummet to first place in the NFC East.
I've seen so many memes where it's just like, just on how garbage the fucking NFC East is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the Eagles and Cowboys just like, yeah, no, I'm going to keep losing. No, I'm going to keep losing. It's just, and then meanwhile, the Redskins are like, we'll win a game. And we'll get closer.
Like, we're chugging along.
The Giants are like, oh, fuck.
The Giants are like, break glass in case of emergency. And it's Eli Manning in there. He's ready.
They've lost 7 straight while the Ravens have won 7 straight. Weesh.
It's not great. It's three-lie time.
Yeah. All right. Do you have any other games you want to point to? Panthers Falcons. This would have been cool.
Yeah, this sounded cool a couple weeks ago, and or like a couple months ago, and now it's just
start of the season. Yeah.
I don't know anything else.
Not much. All right, let's go to our 2-minute drill. I believe we both have 3, so it doesn't really matter who goes first.
After you, I insist.
All right.
First ready? One. Set. Yeah. Go.
Going back to last night, the Bears back.
No. Cowboys are a fake good team. Where does Ron go next year?
I would love to see him go to the Browns. I don't really know though if they're gonna actually fire Freddie Kitchens, so I have to look at the available openings, which there aren't many right now, so TBD at the moment. Going into it, will Ron Rivera be a head coach next season?
Yes. Because he's getting a very nice little farewell tour now. It's going to bump his stock up real nice.
Yeah, everyone in the organization is like, thank you so much. Like, you're the best.
Now get out.
You just don't work here
anymore. Yeah, just not here. You're the best elsewhere. Are the Texans for real?
They're for real in that they will lose in the wild card weekend.
That's so for
they'll
real.
Win their division.
That's what they call for real.
They'll host a playoff game and lose.
Nice.
That's how real they are. So, perfect. Like, last couple of years. Mm-hmm. How many games does Eli win in their remaining 4?
Oh, let me look. So they play the Eagles on Monday night. That's a win. They play the Dolphins at home. That's a win. Yep. At Redskins and Eagles. 4! All 4!
Four, baby!
It's the start of the 3-lie era.
Take their draft pick.
I'm just going to do this whenever there's a new Giants coach. It's the era. It's an era city.
There isn't that new of a Giants. Shermer's still there. He's still employed.
Yeah, but now it's the Eli Manning era. It has begun.
Oh, all right.
Again. Okay. Who is the best team in the NFC West?
Oh. Most complete team, I would like to say the Niners, but Russell Wilson is a huge boost. Taking away quarterbacks solely, Niners, but...
I heard is it's okay to get embarrassed by the Niners. It's basically the same as taking the Seahawks down to the wire.
No.
Right? That's what I heard just now.
Not at all what I was saying.
Wow.
Very different. I think it depends on what team's the home team. It'd be very interesting to see them play in a neutral field, which would never happen.
You could play like whoever Florida the home or team.
That's a huge boost.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Who's ever playing at home? Very even. I think the Seahawks have less talent than the Niners do, but
where do they
have
Russell Wilson and they're better later in the year.
Yeah.
Where do they play again? Where is it?
I think it's at.
I'm looking right now.
Seattle.
It is at Seattle. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Is it week 17 or week 16?
Week 17.
Jesus. I'll draw the marbles. In 2 minutes.
Ah, exactly. Thank you for yelling that, even though I'm holding the stopwatch.
Yeah, because I was also holding the stopwatch.
Oh, do you time it as well?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay, good. I don't time it either. That's a little secret peek behind the curtain.
All right. Well, I don't know. We're recording this on a Friday night. This will probably be up tomorrow. Get you ready for you missed one game, but we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll be back
to regular scheduling. And it was just some travel and work
some
things
and
holiday last
and whatnot. You know,
it was bad, but next week we'll get back on track. All right. Well, this wraps up our week 13 recap and week 14 preview. And this has been the Third and Forever Football Podcast. And as always, I have been Adam Oz, your main host. Joined as always by my co-host, Kevin Ulm. Kevin, any final words?
The Panthers are going to be fine.